The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
With less than a week to go, the US remains as divided as ever ahead of the presidential election. Last night, Kamala Harris delivered her closing campaign remarks. Meanwhile, the Trump rally earlier on aimed to reshape the narrative at his Madison Square Garden rally. Joining us now to update us on the latest is Terry Sheridan, Managing Editor of WSHU Public Radio. Terry, good morning.
Good morning to you, Anton.
Terry, let's begin with Kamala Harris laying out her stall in what is going to be one of the more significant of her final remarks. This is her speaking at the Ellipse in Washington.
We know who Donald Trump is. He is the person who stood at this very spot nearly 4 years ago and sent an armed mob to the United States Capitol to overturn the will of the people in a free and fair election. Donald Trump intends to use the United States military against American citizens who simply disagree with him. People he calls, quote, the enemy from within. America, this is not a candidate for president who is thinking about how to make your life better. This is someone who is unstable, obsessed with revenge, consumed with grievance, and out for unchecked power. Unlike Donald Trump, I don't believe people who disagree with me are the enemy. He wants to put them in jail. I'll give them a seat at the table. I pledge to you to approach my work with the joy and optimism that comes from making a difference in people's lives. And I pledge to be a president for all Americans.
Terry Sheridan, before the news, we were speaking about polling in Ireland and in the US. And one of the things that polling has shown is that January 6th is something of a wedge issue, if there are any wedge issues. So the tactic of going to the location and using it as an issue makes apparent sense. Does the tactic to continue to make this presidential election a referendum on Donald Trump, is that working?
I don't know if it's working, but I think it is the tactic that needs to be taken. Now, what you've played in the clips there from the speech last night, what Kamala Harris is now trying to do is separate Donald Trump from his supporters. You know, I don't mean, you know, get them to turn against him, but basically saying, look, Donald Trump is bad. You supporters, you're good Americans. We just disagree. And as she said there, you have a seat at the table. So it's a tactic that she's trying to do to split her attacks against Trump as apart from the MAGA movement.
She can't have been delighted then with Joe Biden calling Trump supporters garbage.
No, she could not have been that way. I mean, Biden tried to correct himself or tried to clarify what he said. But no, that's a thing that the Republicans picked up immediately and were using it as a counter argument to the comments that were made at the Madison Square Garden rally.
Yeah, the comments at the Madison Square Garden rally, they have been fairly well discussed at this point. But just in case people were unfamiliar, the ones that have got the most attention, the rally had the usual combo of anger and spite and meanness and promised vengeance. But this had an added layer of overt racism because a comedian speaking at the rally made reference to black people at Halloween carving watermelons and referred to Puerto Ricans as coming from a floating island of garbage in the sea. That was put to Donald Trump. He described it as a love fest.
I don't think anybody has ever seen anything like what happened the other night at Madison Square Garden. The love in that room. It was breathtaking. And you could have filled it many, many times with the people that were unable to get in. But politicians that have been doing this for a long time, 30 and 40 years, said there's never been an event so beautiful. It was like a love fest, an absolute love fest, and it was my honor to be involved. And hopefully, you know, they started to say, well, in 1939, the Nazis used Madison Square Garden. Well, and you know what? Can you imagine that? 1939, the Nazis, they were... But how terrible to say, right? Because, you know, they've used Madison Square Garden many times. Many people have used it, but nobody's ever had a crowd like that. And I tell you what, right now, nobody's ever had love like that. That was love in the room, and it was love for our country.
So the usual stuff there from Donald Trump, Terry. How did we end up in a position where a guest at a presidential rally from one of the main parties is able to use one of the most racist tropes in American history and did not have any effect?
Not have any effect with the general public or with the campaign, because, again, with the general public, that was picked up immediately. And those comments, especially about the Puerto Rico, have been resonating so much so that the Trump campaign, not the president, former president himself, but the Trump campaign has so sought to distance themselves from it. Now, Trump seems to be leaning into it again. He was saying, you know, well, you know, it's I've done the best for Puerto Rico. I was the best president for Puerto Rico, and try to appeal to Puerto Ricans at a rally yesterday that he had in Pennsylvania. But no, I think the bigger question is, how did you get there where the campaign allowed that to happen? Because those remarks were in the teleprompter. They were approved by the Trump campaign. So while Donald Trump may not have personally known it, his campaign surely knew that the three offensive jokes in that monologue, which was the opening, I don't want to say opening act, but the opening speaker at the rally, and then what followed afterwards, that was all vetted. So you just can't blame one comedian for going off the script, because Trump had the script.
And even had he not, to follow somebody who had said that, I mean, who had made that watermelon joke, to stand up afterwards and to not in any way criticize it, condemn it, distance yourself from it, it is by inaction, it is an acceptance of it. It's interesting to see the reaction that has happened. An awful lot of people of Puerto Rican heritage have come out swinging after it. Aubrey Plaza, the comedian, among them.
I just wanted to very quickly respond to the racist joke that was made at that Trump rally about Puerto Rico, where most of my family is from. Thankfully, my sweet abuelita wasn't here to hear that disgusting remark. But if she was alive today, I think she would say, Tony Hinchcliffe, go yourself. And yes, the Wall Street Journal can quote me on that.
And Tony Hinchcliffe, of course, the comedian in question. Now, what's this going to mean in terms of voters, Terry? Because a lot of people pointing out that there are 400,000 people of Puerto Rican descent in Pennsylvania alone. And when tens of thousands of votes could swing that state either way, this may be important.
Oh, it's going to be very important, and particularly in Pennsylvania on the presidential race, because, yes, that is very, very tight. I think the last polls I was looking at this morning, or the polling average for Pennsylvania, shows it to be even. It's still a toss up. So you just need a move by tens of thousands, 20,000 people to shift the election, and that could put it into Kamala Harris's, into her tally very easily. And then it also has effects on other down ballot races in Florida, in which Senator Rick Scott is facing a very tight election re-election campaign for the U.S. Senate. There are hundreds of thousands. I think the number I saw was 1 million Puerto Ricans in Florida that would vote. And, you know, Rick Scott came out almost immediately to say, hey, this is not me. This doesn't represent what I stand for.
Which presumably is significant, because he has cozied up to Trump for a long time and benefited from Trump's imprimatur electorally and in terms of profile. So if he sees this as enough of an issue to cut Trump loose, that gives a bit of an insight into how worried some of the Republicans must be.
Yeah, I think it's because of that. But also what I've seen over the past couple of days, and this happens to people who, not necessarily famous people, but people who were leaning Republicans or people who weren't vocal in their support for either candidate after Sunday's rally, they have gone onto social media to say, hey, I'm a Republican. I'm a lifelong Republican. I just can't do it this time. You know, it's country over party. You're seeing the reaction from the Puerto Rican community. You're seeing the reaction from other communities who just feel, ethnic communities who feel that they're, you know, they could be next in line in the target. So Sunday's rally had a profound effect, I think, and could be a turning point in the election to just give it that little boost to push Kamala Harris over the line.
Well, can you give us a sense of where that is at, Terry? Because it's very hard when you're either in looking at domestic US media or looking at the polls to get a feel of it. We have national polls that have Kamala Harris and Donald Trump within margin of error. We have Donald Trump leading in most of the swing states, but again, margin of error. And it's very difficult to see whether or not that has the feel of accuracy. Meanwhile, you have people like James Carville saying it's done and dusted for Kamala Harris. What's your view?
Well, if I got this right, I'd be a rich man. I don't know. I think the polls, I can't rely on the polls, or I don't have much faith in the polls because of the reason you said. It's so tight. And then when you're looking at the polling average, the Republicans have been releasing Republican-friendly polls into that polling average. I think that there will be a surge for Kamala Harris now during the states that have early voting, including New York. And I think that, you know, it could push more people to come to the polls. It looks like it's going to be it's going to come down to turnout. The more turnout, the better for Kamala Harris. And if what her campaign has done is to get people motivated who may have sat out this election to the polls, then that would be good for her.
It's going to be very interesting to watch, Terry. Terry, thank you so much. Terry Sheridan, Managing Editor of WSHU Public Radio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.